No, do it again. That was terrible. Welcome.
That was better.
Welcome, everyone, to the 8-4 Play Podcast. The only, the best, the most magical podcast about shitty, awful Japanese games that nobody likes anymore. I am your host, awkward as always, Justin JJ, the JJ McJJ Epperson. With me is a reduced cast. We have a special guest with us today, but Mark and Hiroko are out in the Freedom Land for GDC.
Gone.
Gone. Today also, by the way, Hiroko's birthday. Yes. So
happy birthday,
Hiroko.
Let me just go around the table. John?
You're pointing at me. Do you want me to introduce myself? Well, what is this craziness?
See, like, the nicknames are Mark's thing. I don't know if I can do that. I was going to call you John, Cap'n Crunch, Ricciardi, because, you know, you just got off Crunch.
Because I worked like a slave for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you basically had no weekends, right?
That makes sense. Yeah, I haven't had a weekend in like 3 weeks.
Wow.
For you, the loyal player.
Yeah. I think they'll appreciate the fruits of your labor.
I hope so. Someday, whenever this game gets announced, because it's a ways off still. But
that's true.
But it's exciting.
Yes. And next to him is Brendan, the diseased Pritchard.
I thought we already had a nickname made up for me that came from you.
Oh, what was it?
Oh, yeah. What was it? Do you remember it?
I don't even remember.
Brendan was looking forward to it. He totally remembers it, but now he's pretending he doesn't remember.
I don't remember what the exact word was, but JJ was trying to tell... Actually, John was trying to tell JJ to bring Ashura's Wrath for him to play.
Yes.
But instead, JJ misinterpreted Ashura's Wrath as Bedazzleboo or something ridiculous.
Bedazzleboo, whatever.
As my name.
It's because
name is very similar to Ashura's Wrath. I
I didn't.
It's an easy mistake.
It was weird. I couldn't hear it. It sounded like Bedazzleboo.
Brendan the Bedazzled.
Yeah. Brendan the Bedazzled.
But the diseased, I've had a cold lately, but it's better today. So
yeah, that's good. Because yesterday it was pretty gross.
It was bad.
Everybody's getting sick in Japan.
But I'm better today. So you all are lucky you get to hear my lovely voice.
Wonderful. And with us is our special guest. What's your name?
GBD. Gaming Moses.
Gaming Moses. You know,
Moses is
since,
here.
Since we're both Jews, like you're Gaming Moses, I want to be Gaming Abraham. Is that cool?
That's what I call you at the office all the time.
That's
right?
True. You do call me Jabraham.
Jabraham.
Yeah.
Jabraham and Moses.
Right. So now that the intros are out of the way, today we're going to talk about a whole bunch of shit, and we're going to talk about something that we don't usually talk about. Video games that we've actually played.
Special podcast.
Yes. Well, so today we got Ashura's Wrath. We got Journey. We got Girls RPG for like 5 seconds.
We got Theater Rhythm.
Theater Rhythm.
Theater Rhythm. Is that how you say it?
Theater Rhythm.
Theater Rhythm by Square Enix.
You know, it's funny. Just to like go on an aside, but it was funny because there was Iwata asks for a Theater Rhythm or whatever. And Iwata, this quote, he said, and it's so easy to say.
Theater Rhythm is easy to say.
And maybe in Japanese. Yeah, maybe it is.
Honestly, every time I say that, I want to say Teat Rhythm, but I don't think that's correct.
Really? Well, okay. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Chibi, you've been playing a little Mass Effect Multiplayer 3.
What else you've been playing? Anything lately?
I Am Alive.
I'm Alive.
I Am Alive.
I'm Alive. Journey.
Well, I finished Journey.
Right.
But
we'll
get
into it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Yes.
Did you play SSX yet?
Nah.
Really? You're not an SSX guy?
A lot of the reviews talked about how frustrating certain parts of
the really?
Is, and I hear the F word and I get turned off.
You know, I played the demo of that and like I didn't get it. Like I felt like I was just like doing gibberish with my hands. Like nothing I did was mimicking what was going on screen, and I just kind of like I spazzed out on my controller. Every time I jumped in the air, like spazzed out on my controller, and then shit happened. And it just was like, it wasn't very fun.
It's
to
a
me.
Miracle.
I see. I want to try. I mean, I have that, probably the same thing a lot of people have is like, you know, that sort of good nostalgic feeling about SSX because it used to be awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm kind of hopeful.
Everybody played that game.
Actually, the best ever snowboarding game is Steep Slope Sliders for the Sega Saturn. I don't know if you guys ever played it.
Steep Slope Sliders. That sounds familiar. You got the name right?
It is.
I remember that game, but yeah.
It was Tony Hawk Pro Skater before Tony Hawk Pro Skater came out. And it had an alien. You could... Anyways, let's start out with Journey.
Woo!
Because that's the game everybody wants to hear about.
So Journey, the deal with Journey is if you bought PlayStation Plus, you got you get it a week early, right?
Yes,
and
right.
I guess you guys, Cheapy, you already had PlayStation Plus?
That's right.
And Brendan, you went ahead and bought PlayStation Plus.
For the sole purpose of buying.
How much in the end did you spend on getting Journey early?
Let's see. It was $18 to get 3 months of PlayStation Plus, and then I believe it's $15 for Journey. So $33 if I did my math.
So you you basically paid double to play it a week early.
Yes.
I think that's pretty cool. I did the same thing, actually. I haven't actually played it yet, but I actually did go ahead and get PlayStation Plus, and right. I got a year, so that's like $50, I think.
By the time you get to play it, John, it will be out.
Out yeah, hopefully, I know. But you know what? I was looking for an excuse to get PlayStation Plus anyway. Okay. I mean, so I spent like $65, I guess. But the problem is, as us in Japan here know, like you can't basically use, even though I have a U.S. account and a right. U.S. credit card and a U.S. Right. address like anyone else, I can't buy PlayStation money, PSN dollars or whatever, from my wallet
right.
from Japan. Correct. Like, it just blocks you. Like, it's just
IP,
like...
IP blocking.
Yeah, right. Which is so lame. So I went home the other night, all set to play through Journey, and it didn't work out. So then I went and did what everybody else did, which is buy a PlayStation card on Best Buy, because they're supposed to mail it to you, quote unquote, in 15 minutes.
Bullshit.
And it came at 5 in the morning the next day. Nice. So I didn't actually get to play it.
But you were up anyways watching the iPad
thing. I was up until like 3 in the morning watching the iPad thing, yeah, but... Or listening, watching live blogs of the iPad thing, which wow. is like the most boring thing in the world to watch. Like, you're waiting for that little click click noise to know that they updated.
Yeah. You know what's good? Sleeping.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I was doing.
I'm still regretting that I didn't sleep that night.
So tell me about the game. Like, I'm waiting for the actual release. So don't spoil
yeah,
anything.
I know it's a really short game, but yeah, let's not spoil anything major.
So yes, how did it affect you emotionally?
Chibi, you played it first, so what's the deal? Yeah. Tell us about Journey.
You know, it's an adventure game. It's a minimalist adventure game, right. I guess you yeah. would call it, right? Mm-hmm. So, and everything about it is minimalist. Like the title screen, the tutorial, the online play. Everything is just basically you're just looking at beautiful environments
right.
and really stirring music. And actually, the sound design is excellent.
I was going to say that. Yeah, the sound is amazing.
If you have a surround sound system, yeah. it's, you know.
Really?
Really sounds great.
Fantastic.
And... You know, the game mechanics are, there's a lot of walking yes. and there's limited flying. So you have the ability for flight based on, you know, flags that you can, you know, you're basically in proximity with, or the second player that you're playing with over PlayStation Network.
Right. So how does that work? Is that, 'cause when I played the demo, or I guess the beta, mm-hmm. I never had another person enter my game. But like, do people just show up all the time, or just like every now and then?
They just show up, you know. You only play with one other person, mm-hmm. and there's no matchmaking that you have any control over.
Right.
It's just if you're connected to PlayStation Network and you play the game, you'll probably get connected with at least one person. And I guess it switches it up as you're playing and you get to different levels.
What happens when someone comes into your game? Does it like let you know, or is just all of a sudden there's like this guy over
there? Well, it sort of lets you know, because if one of the players gives out what I saw some sites refer to as a shout, but you're giving a signal, and it's mm-hmm. how you primarily interact with the world. If there's another player who's doing that, a small flash will appear on the screen indicating what direction they're in. Like, so
like a beacon.
It's very subtle. Like, if someone's to the left of you and they give a beacon, there'll be a subtle flash on the left side of your screen indicating someone's there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're free to go in that direction and try to find them, or just completely ignore them, and then eventually they'll disappear.
So is the world, like, I don't know much about the game because I haven't played it yet, right. and I've pretty much avoided all media on purpose. But
that's
like,
a good thing.
Oh, you didn't play the beta?
I didn't play the beta. From what little I have seen, it just, you're kind of like going forward towards a mountain. Is there much exploration that's like, you know, out, or you're just kind of exploring dungeons?
It's more linear like than you would almost believe.
Correct.
Like, there's the illusion that it's an open world.
And I think the illusion is good. They do a good job of making it feel like you're in an open world, but it is very linear.
Right. But you're not going to run into any like... invisible walls or anything like that.
You will. It's more like wind that blows you back into the right direction.
That's one way to do it.
But it's not intrusive. It's done well.
Yeah, it's like, not offensive.
Do you not feel like, I wish I could be going over there or whatever? Or?
You could. It breaks the illusion that you're in an open world game.
Correct.
But it's not like you're gonna say this sucks and throw the controller.
Right.
Okay. So I want to know more about the multiplayer stuff though. So like, so people come in your game, can you kick them out? Or
no.
You cannot kick them out. You cannot talk to them. You cannot set up a game with your friend. It's
right.
literally, you have no control over it.
And it's just a random... Or is it like a person from your friends list? Or
no,
it's totally
no,
random?
No, 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 no.
Really?
I mean, it could be.
But you wouldn't know anyway because it doesn't like say their name.
There is
Well, okay, we won't say it.
You might find out who it was, I guess, but okay.
But as you're playing the game, there is absolutely no identification, except when you start the game, you are assigned a symbol. And that's whenever you give this sort of shout command, that symbol appears.
Uh-huh.
So if someone shows up in your game and you see their signal, and then you lose sight of them for a while, but then you see them again, you can tell by their signal whether it's the same person or someone.
Oh, are they all unique, or is it just...
I think there's a small... It's like maybe 10 different symbols.
I see.
And you're assigned one at the beginning of the game. I actually didn't realize in this until I started playing the game a second time, and I noticed my signal was different, that I have a different symbol that I'm giving out.
Oh, so you're on your second playthrough now?
Yeah, I went back through and did a few extra things, maybe for trophies and stuff.
I see.
So apparently it's pretty short, huh?
Right.
Yes.
Cheapy called it, you said it, what'd you say on Twitter? Like, it's they couldn't call it short trip, so they call it journey.
Yeah, it's misleading that it's a journey, because most journeys don't take an hour and a half. Yeah.
It's like a journey to the supermarket or something.
Yeah. Right.
The supermarket on the mountain.
So, do you feel like it's something that you could play through more than once? Like, I remember during the beta, like, someone saying that they wanted to take other people through it and stuff like that. That's the problem. Kind of, like,
you can't
mentor.
Take somebody through it because you can't choose who you play with.
Are they supposed to have DLC or anything? Do you know?
I doubt it.
I feel like that would ruin the experience.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem like the kind of game.
There are other games never had, right?
Yeah. But on the other hand, I would probably be willing to play through it a couple more times just because I actually thought the multiplayer aspect was extremely compelling. It's precisely because, like, especially the end of the game, I'm not going to say anything about it, but at the very end of the game, having another person with you, not knowing anything about this person, unable to communicate with them, it makes the experience that much more powerful.
Yeah.
The very end of the game, it's...
You're already saying more than I probably want to hear, so maybe we should cut it there.
Okay. Did you play Flower?
I did.
I didn't. I played it a little bit.
Need to play Flower.
I know. Didn't they have another one, too, before that?
I don't care about that one.
Flow. Flow.
Yeah, you know how Flower, the end of Flower, it works its way up and you have an emotional response, probably.
Yes. So it's Journey is the same way.
Similar.
Okay.
In that way, yeah.
It's a very, very powerful emotional climax to the end.
It's coming out in Japan as well next week, and it's called Kaze no Tabibito, which is kind of a cool, simple name. It just means like Travelers of the Wind, I guess.
Yes.
Travelers on the Wind.
It's very, like... cool.
It sounds like a Ghibli movie or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And if you happen to download it from the American store and then play it on your Japanese account, you can already see the icon and everything.
Oh, nice.
That's how it does the logo change?
It's a different logo, yeah.
Is there a platinum trophy? Probably not, right? Because it's downloaded.
Yes, there's a silver trophy, which I actually got.
I want to get all the trophies. I think it's worth playing to get all the trophies and, like, get your kind of fill.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to play it more on the beta, actually, but it's like, then again, I was like, well, if I'm going to play it multiple times, I might as well wait for the real game, so I'm not, like, wasting my time.
Did either of you play the beta?
Yes.
How different is it from the beta?
I don't know. It seemed pretty similar.
I mean, the beta took me like an hour, so I was like, how long can the game really be?
The beta is very generous.
Really?
Actually. The beta is quite generous.
Really? Oh, so it doesn't... The beta wasn't the whole game, but...
No, it wasn't the whole game.
But I got the feeling when I was done with the beta, this is probably like the first like 10% of the game or something, but it sounds like that's not the case.
Unfortunately. I mean, it's a game that definitely leaves you wanting more.
Mm.
Yeah, I would almost want like an MMORPG experience with just like a bigger world... And this same multiplayer aspect of having people come in, hang out with them for a while, and then lose them. And one of the things I wanted to say, and this is not at all a spoiler or anything, but like when another person joins your world, you really bond with this person, and you're working together, and you're going together.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, this was the first hour I was playing. The guy or girl, whoever I was playing with for so long, just sits down. And when a character sits down, that means they pause the game. And I turned around and I was like, wait, no, you can't stop. We've been together this whole time.
Can you go like kick sand in their face or
something? You can walk around
they should
them
have
and
that
you,
move.
You can contact them and everything, but if they don't respond, it's like, no, we're in this together.
I had to do that to somebody.
I know.
I had to go and I had to go pick up my son from
and
school.
And it's kind of an emotional experience.
I felt bad.
You're like, oh my God, we were supposed to be in this together. What the hell?
But Brendan, they will hook up with somebody else.
Right. Someone else will come in immediately.
So Brendan, you're so needy.
this thing about coming in and going out, are you, I mean, I'm always envisioning it as people entering your game, but I guess, are they seeing it in the same way as you're entering their game? Like, it just happens at random locations during the
exactly.
game?
Exactly, and the other thing is, you can actually enter a section of the game and have the puzzle, so to speak, already partially completed because the other player had started it.
Interesting.
So it really is like you're coming into their game, they're coming into your game. I actually thought that they were... cinematics for a few seconds. I thought that this was like a staged thing in the game before I realized, no, I just happened to come in when the person had already started the puzzle.
Oh, that's so cool. You know, it reminds me of Dark Souls and how, like, there's a persistent online world that happens kind of all at the same time. And you can see that through ghosts and stuff.
Right.
That, but to me, is like the future of, like, yeah, online game. I want on, like, so single player game, quote unquote single player games, to be right, all like Dark Souls.
Me too.
Like, persistent,
it's
world.
So
sort
cool.
Of.
Mm. Yeah, this sounds really. I wish, you know, I don't want to spend the money on PlayStation Plus, but I want the game. And I'm going to be getting it the day it comes out.
You should.
How do you feel about a $15 game lasting an hour and a half?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because the next game we're going to talk about, Ashura's Wrath, is a $60 game that lasts 6 hours. And I have to say, I love the shit out of it.
Okay.
Wait, you love the shit out of Ashura's Wrath?
Yeah.
But before we get to that, though, the journey thing, I think there's like. It's weird because I've had the same argument in the past with different games where it was like, I don't remember what game it was, but I was kind of annoyed that, like, this $15 game, which to me should have been a $10 game, was actually, you know, $15 more. But, you know, it's not just a time thing, because I think it's like, it's what you get out of it. Because I feel like with Journey, like, you're getting, it's 2 hours, fine, but I still feel like I'm getting this, like, rare, like, what it looks like anyway, this sort of rare, like, kind of emotionally compelling, like, you know, interesting experience.
Absolutely.
Out of it makes it worth the $15 for me.
Yeah. And there's also the fact that $15, that's about how much it costs to go to the movies nowadays. And that's only about 2 hours.
Well, in Japan. Yeah. Right. Is that expensive overseas?
It's getting
around that.
Probably a 3D movie. Probably.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, if you see a 3D movie,
you're spending that kind of money, and that's 2 hours, right? That's only 2 hours right there. Mm. So I think, you know, if there's enough content and there's enough emotional response in it, I think it's worth it. I don't regret spending $33 on Journey at all, and I've already beaten the game. So.
Yeah,
but
it looks
on the other side of the coin, you could see somebody complaining like that, and they wouldn't necessarily be wrong.
I'm willing to agree with that. Yeah,
but like for me, like I like, you know, a game like this, which is so rare and basically needs your support
for
future games to be made. You know, I don't have a problem
totally
that up, but yet I would be hesitant to offer up somebody else's $15. You know, I would want them to know if this is going to bother you that it's only 2 hours hour and a half, then you should maybe wait till it gets cheaper. But, you know, for me, I'd like to support something like
that's
this.
Fair.
So
that's fair.
Yeah. It's such an artistic looking game too. It reminds me of like kind of Japanese game design where they're like, they just polish it to such a perfect shine, like it's just like so polished in every way.
Oh, it felt like Ico. Like
all their games,
the game, it very much had the Ico feeling.
Totally.
Is it Ico?
I got the same, Ico. Yeah, I got the same reaction.
Really? Wow.
It.
Cool.
Now I'm like sufficiently hyped for that game. I know.
I'm gonna go home and play it this weekend.
I'm gonna code Best Buy after the party.
Tomorrow is like my first like full day off that's not me sleeping all day to catch up on Lost Sleep in like weeks. So I think all I'm gonna do tomorrow is play through Journey, play like every other game that's like sitting on my.
You could probably also play through Ashura's Wrath.
I will. Yeah, I'm borrowing JJ's copy of Ashura's Wrath tomorrow. So okay, now we can talk about. Yes.
Okay,
talk
so about Ashura's Wrath we've talked about on this podcast before, and we kind of dogged the demo because
we watched the demo, which to me looked horrible
because it was just like a. You know, Dragon's Lair, blah blah blah, and you know the game does have a lot of that kind of stuff, but it does have a lot of gameplay there too. It's not like super great gameplay, but it's enough.
I love hearing JJ defend anything like whenever. JJ
well, no, because like I think the game is bigger than that. Like what the game, like my enjoyment of the game it, is.
You really like it? Like you like it?
I
like,
do.
It's not just like you think it's okay. You actually like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. No.
Like, I'm not mocking you. I'm just trying to clarify what
the thing
is.
Like, it's well written. I mean, like, the story is really good and engaging. Like, the world is really cool. The action set pieces are great.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like, it really drives you through the story, and you just keep wanting to playing more and more.
But aren't you, all you're really doing is, like, quick time events, right? I mean, when you're not doing quick time events, what are you doing?
You're fighting bad guys like in a Devil May Cry game.
So you're like, you know, you hit a button and your character responds to the button with a punch or a kick or something.
Yes.
You actually, okay.
Move around. There are combos, special moves.
I honestly did not know. I mean, because I only watched somebody play the demo and it just looked like an interactive video.
The game is a victim of bad demo-itis. And I feel like even the stuff that we saw in the demo is actually better in the real game because you're not like repeating cutscenes and stuff like that. And just like, you know, the character of Ashura is fucking cool. Like, yeah. It's not often that a Japanese game company can make a character who's actually cool. Like, they'll be like Dante, who like thinks he's cool, but he's just this really lame guy in a in a bra with a red coat. Ashura is like, this is gonna get a little too meta for you guys, or well, not meta, but like outside of your realm of knowledge. But there's this anime called Scryde, which is like this anime about these two kind of rival dudes.
Who, you know, that's not out of my area.
Right. Well, Brendan would know about it.
Yes.
But like the whole plot of the story is like these guys are rivals and they fucking hate each other and they will just do whatever they can to beat the shit out of each other and then just like outdo one another.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And in Ashura's Wrath, the game is like, it's centered around Ashura, who was one of the eight general gods in, like, I guess it's Shinto mythology, and they're fighting these...
Did you play it in English or Japanese, by the way?
I played Japanese voices, English text.
Okay.
Because it's fully bilingual, the Japanese version. And they're fighting against these, like... they're like diseased animals, something, I don't know, whatever. They're just like this enemy.
The cast of Tokyo Jungle.
Yeah, kind of, actually. They're called the Goma or whatever. And you're fighting them because they want to kill everybody on the planet and infest the world or whatever. And so like the game opens up and you're fighting against these guys. And then Ashura gets pissed off, grows six other arms, and then fucking destroys this huge ass monster that comes out of the core of the earth. Okay, this is like the scale that we're talking about, by the way.
Right.
And so, and then after that, they realize that like Ashura is kind of like this wild guy who you can't control, and like the other generals have like this plot to kind of put themselves in power. So they essentially kill Ashura. And
are you spoiling the game now?
No, I'm not. This is like the first 5 minutes. They kill Ashura, and they go out with his plans, and then
you're going to say with his girlfriend.
Well, they kill his wife and steal his daughter. Because his, well, I don't want to
like
go
Steven Seagal. Movie.
I don't want to go too much in the story, but
yeah,
it's so cool because like Ashura just won't die. Like he falls into, you know, my mythology is all fucked up, but the place in between the real
purgatory?
World and hell, purgatory, falls into purgatory
mythology.
Yeah. Well, this is the Buddhist version or the
okay.
Shinto version.
Oh, right. Okay.
And like he. You know, he stops from falling. He stops himself from falling. He's like, no, I'm not fucking dying. I'm coming back up there. I'm going to fucking kick these guys' ass.
Okay, so this is like a game for people who like the Mel Gibson movie Payback or something.
Well,
right?
No.
Who
it's
like revenge.
So over the top.
Give me back my son. No.
not I love quite that movie.
It is a revenge movie.
I love revenge movies.
But it's like, he's just so full of like masculine badassery that it's okay. Just, you know, that the whole game is okay. Following Ashura's.
It feels like a game
adventures.
Made of like the Chuck Norris jokes that we would always.
Well, no. It's not lame like Chuck Norris jokes. This is just if you are a guy and you
and you have an ounce of manliness in
right,
yourself,
you will like Ashura's Wrath.
Okay, I can understand that. I'm gonna play it this weekend.
Yeah, and it's just like it's very like the art is really cool. Like
that, I've always thought. I thought the art
the demo
looks really
looked
good.
Awesome.
The boss battles are so like just fucking nuts. It's just the game is nuts.
What's this I hear about like people wanting to replay it? Like, is there some sort of reason to
so,
replay
well,
it?
That,
without like if it doesn't.
I'm not gonna spoil, but there's like there's the ending of the game, and then there's like the real ending of the game.
Okay.
But then apparently there's gonna be DLC that furthers the story or whatever.
Okay.
This is kind of like the other side of my impressions of this game is that I really think it's lame that there's the full game, that they released the full game, but it's actually not the end of the story. There's going to be DLC that
so
continues.
It's a cliffhanger or something?
It is kind of like a cliffhanger.
So you have to buy the DLC to see the full story.
Right. And like, you know, the story is complete. I mean, I didn't feel ripped off. Let's just say it's not like a cliffhanger in like you would see in White Knight Chronicles where like they just cut half of the story out.
Right.
The actual storyline is finished and resolved and everything. There's just more stuff.
Okay.
So I didn't feel too ripped off, but I did feel kind of like, that's not really cool.
Fair enough.
They Capcom'd it.
They did kind of Capcom it.
You mean they? I can't even pronounce the misspell. Yeah, you saw that, right? The what was it this week? It was a video for
Steel Battalion.
Steel Battalion. Yeah. Yes. Did you see somebody? They opened a Twitter account. Somebody opened a Capcom
right.
Twitter account.
It's Capcom Unity is what it was.
Right. Oh,
right.
Boy.
So, anyways, I totally recommend this game. Maybe not a full price if you can get it for like 3,000 yen.
Doesn't look to me like a $50 game.
It's the sweet spot, but it's definitely something I feel like you should Play to experience.
Okay. Cheapy, did you play it or are you going to play it?
I played it at TGS.
Okay.
Seemed pretty weird. I think it was mostly QuickTime stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, of course, at a trade show, you have no idea when you sit and play a game or stand and play a game for 5 minutes, you have no idea what you're playing, really.
Yeah. It's not a game that I would really trust a demo to tell me what it's all about. And just, I'm letting John, you borrow it. So I feel like you're going to love it because you didn't have to pay for it.
That helps for sure.
But, like, you know, I don't feel like I misspent my 6,000 yen. Like I, you know, it's one of the seldom times I actually finish a game, which is, you know, it feels good to finish a
game. Well, you play through most of the stuff you buy, don't you? Well, I guess, you're one of those guys who buys stuff and sells it back right away when you don't like it, right?
Right. Well, you know, I'm the kind of guy who's like, I'll play it a lot and then maybe I'll like kind of do something else for a while and then I just will never go back. So I sell it when that happens, because I just know I won't ever go back. But I did finish this game. I think it's awesome. I love Ashura, and I wish they would put him into more games. I want him to be in
Street Fighter DLC confirmed.
Yeah, there you go. He would make a good Street Fighter character, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but you know, it's one of I want to gush about this game because it's so unusual for a Japanese company to produce something like this.
And the story, you can understand the story.
You can understand it. It's very straightforward. The character, there's no like. Well, actually, there was one character who's kind of lame. But the main characters, there's no, like, emo boy that's like, I want to go to my mommy. You know, it's just, it's great.
That'll be the DLC.
Is that your, what's his name from Final Fantasy? I don't remember their names anymore.
Hope,
I don't care.
Hope is his name, I think.
Whiny little shit.
Yeah, okay, but anyways, totally awesome. Totally recommended.
Sounds good. Next, what else have you been playing?
Mass Effect.
We should talk about Mass Effect. So we wanted to get our friend of the show, gaming expert, Jon Snow, to come on and talk about Mass Effect 3, but he was busy today. He's got some plans.
He needed a new scarf.
He's getting his nails done.
Right.
He needed a new scarf. But you played a little bit of the multiplayer.
I played a lot of the multiplayer because I had the beta or the demo or whatever they called it. I put a lot of time into that, and I put a lot of time into the full release version. I wanted to play the single player, but there's that face import glitch where if you try to import your character that you made from Mass Effect 1, you could do it, but you can't bring the face with you. It brings all your decisions that you've made in the previous games, but not
so
the face.
So it just resets to like the default Shepard face
or
whatever?
Right. Oh, okay. It prompts you, says if you want.
Did you customize your guy to look like you?
That might have happened.
It would be cool if like if the glitch didn't make you look like the normal Shepard, but just like a random fucked up Shepard.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
there's hair on the side of your face.
Right.
Some of the best internet threads, though, are the ones where it's like showing your created
character. Right. Well, there was the bad created character thread on Gaff that just had me rolling on the floor because it's just there were a lot of Mass Effect characters where it was just like the guy's jaws like sticking a foot out in front of his face.
Right.
I would do that. I would.
My guy might be named David Shepard. I don't know. He might look like me.
Okay, sorry. So yeah, so you were pulling it over and then the face.
And it's give me the error, and that's pretty. It's a known issue, and BioWare says they're looking into it, and I'm gonna just wait at this point. I mean, I'm sad that I spent the extra money to FedEx it over.
You don't want to just take like 10 minutes to like remake yourself. Like you must have spent a lot of time.
It's not. It's pretty hard to get a guy looking as good as me.
This beauty don't come cheap, baby.
Right.
So I've been mostly playing the multiplayer, which actually ties into the single player. And I was surprised. I didn't realize that was the case.
Unless it's a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler. I don't know because I haven't. But in order to get the best ending, apparently, you need to sort of grind a little bit in the single player game or play the multiplayer game. There's basically different parts of the galaxy, and when you first load when you load the game up on the title screen, it tells you like what percentage how you're doing in that quadrant whatever.
Your current galaxy saving percentage.
It's something, like that. I don't know, but I know that as you play through the multiplayer, your percentages go up, and apparently, in order to get the best ending in the single player,
it needs to be pretty high.
Pretty high, and also as you level up your characters in the multiplayer, you can promote them to go into the single player game. You can basically, it's almost like Prestige in Call of Duty where you basically forfeit all the stuff that you've earned and he becomes an asset in the single player game, and that helps you.
So it's not like you're using the same character. Like your David Shepard is not the dude who's on multiplayer.
No.
You're just doing all this work that will affect him in the real games.
In fact, you can have multiple characters in the multiplayer.
Okay.
Which is cool. Like in different classes, you can have several characters in different classes. It's just co-op. You know, you basically go through like 11 waves of enemies coming at you. And
so it's like a horde mode or whatever.
It's like a horde mode, and some of it's objective based. Like you'll
is
have
it
to, like,
action or is it also menu based?
All action.
It's all action. Okay.
It's all action. It's all straight up action. Wow. And it's challenging, if especially if the people you're playing with aren't leveled up too high.
Right.
It's addicting though, dude, because
really?
you're leveling up your guy and, you know, getting the new powers. They also, there's a money mechanic into the game where you earn money and you buy supply crates, mm-hmm. and those can affect how your character looks, your character's weapons.
Hats.
No hats, but like patterns and things like different races of character. It's, you know, I'm pretty hooked, I gotta
really?
Say. Like,
wow.
I'm happy just playing that until they fix the glitch.
I'm really want to play this game. Every time Mass Effect comes, Mass Effect, this goes way back. I actually read the prequel book to Mass Effect before it came out because they sent me a free copy. And I
read
was like,
it too.
But it wasn't bad. It was like
bad.
For a game book. You know, I read the first 10 pages. I was going to throw it out and I was like, let me just see what it is. And I actually read the whole book and I was like, okay, now I really want to play the game. The story's really good. And I played the first one. I don't know. I didn't finish it. I played probably halfway, but I got a little tired of like all the endless like chatter, like the NBC, like, because I'm one of those guys when someone gives me a quest, I got to do it. I can't just like ignore it. And that was a bad choice because in the Citadel, like there's like a 50 billion different things you could do. But anyway, I never finished it. But now I kind of forgot the story. But I saw you can buy Mass Effect 2 and 3 on download on PSN, which is awesome. I wish more retail games came out like straight off the bat like this.
I've only played like 5 minutes of Mass Effect 1.
Right. So the thing is you can skip Mass Effect 1 now if you play the PS3 version, because Mass Effect 2 has like this sort of special thing in the beginning that sort of gets you up to speed and like lets you kind of make the same decisions you would have made if you played the game.
Assuming it works. It didn't work for me.
It didn't work?
What do you mean it didn't work?
You have to input a code to access you get like a comic book that tells you what happened in Mass Effect 1.
Right, right.
And I input the code that came with the game and it was rejected. They said the code's wrong.
Really?
That's
happened
awesome.
To me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try and play through 2 and before 3, but I really do want to get back into it. Like I find it like really appealing. I watched Mark play a lot of Mass Effect 1
really?
And I thought it looked awesome. Like, I mean, the graphics and everything in that game, it's like, I'm not always into Western RPGs, but I did love Skyrim. But like Mass Effect is one that I think I can really get into.
The thing, people are going to yell at me for saying this. The thing about
JJ.
The thing about Western RPGs that I don't like is that like I don't want to go up to and talk to random people. I hate that.
But you have to do that in Japanese RPGs too.
I don't. No, you don't. Most RPGs these days, you don't have to talk to random people. There's always like one specific person who's pretty obvious that you have to talk to.
Because they put a little like thought bubble above his
exactly.
head or whatever.
But like, it's just like going and like, oh, that guy might have like a quest. I don't.
Well, isn't that what role playing is? It sounds like you don't want to play role playing games. Yeah, you don't want to role play.
Aren't you
the World of Warcraft fan? Didn't you have to do that a billion times?
Dude, World of Warcraft is, these guys are not people you talk to. They're just nodes that give out quests and I go out and kill shit. That's what's fun. What's fun?
I want to play it. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm glad that it's download. Because then I can impulse buy it and, you know, regret it later. But you can't really do that out here in Japan when you have to like actually actively go out of your way to get a packaged game. So,
though I mean, you can always send an intern to Akihabara.
That's true. That's why we have interns, right? So I can get my import games.
Right. Okay. So I guess that's all the games we've been playing?
No, I've been playing games. What are you talking about?
Oh, so what have you been playing?
First of all, I want to talk more about Luminous, because we talked with Milky
last
show, which was really well received, too. And thanks for coming on to that, Milky. But I actually got the game. He actually brought it back for me.
Nice.
And I had him sign it. Even I don't get my game signed anymore. Like, I haven't done that in like 10 years. But Milky makes everybody sign everything. He's got more autographs than like anyone's like high school yearbook. But like, I basically gave him the copy he brought back and made him sign it. I played it. It's the best Vita game by so much. Like, Luminous to me is like a drug. Like, once you get into it, the hours just slip away. And like, it's like a Zen experience. Like, it hasn't changed. And I think this is probably, it really hasn't changed much. It's the same Luminous more or less as the first one. There's a few differences. That shuffle block, I actually, now that I've played enough, I will say I am in favor of it. Like, some people really hate it. Some people, I don't know, any of you guys played Luminous yet?
Yeah.
I have.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the shuffle block, instantly, it was like, okay.
Some people don't like it, but I think, you know, when you get further in the game, you need it sometimes. I mean, you just, you know, you're in a shitty situation, and the only way to get out is to just scramble it. You're pressing your luck to sort of hope for like a, you know, a good outcome.
You just wish there were no whammies and big bucks. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. And the music is really good. The soundtrack is great. Lots of good choices that, you know, Milky also grew up in New York, and so I think I sort of can understand some of the flavor of the songs he picked, because it's a lot of stuff that I heard growing over the years as well.
They do kind of lean towards an older audience.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I don't think there's enough modern electronic music in there.
Yeah.
Not that it's, I don't really care. Sure. I'm just saying overall.
Because you're old.
But I still listen to electronic. I'm old with a young person's heart. I still listen to electronic music now, but you know, I think I was on deadline last week with this project, like crazy crunchy deadline, where I was like sleeping like 4 or 5 hours a night. And I went home and like one night I was like, I'm going to leave Luminous at the office because if I take it home, I'm screwed. And like I took it home. And sure enough, I turned it on. I'm like, I'm just going to play for 10 minutes. And then like I played it for like 3 hours. And it was like, that was like precious, precious sleeping time. But I just couldn't put it down. It's so good.
Yeah. That game's dangerous because like if you're playing it on a train,
You'll miss your stop.
You will probably miss your stop.
Totally.
It's just, yeah, I like when I get my Vita eventually, that will be the game I get.
Have you played it though?
I like it. I've always liked Luminous because I like that music.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm obviously missing like a fundamental strategy because I'm horrible.
Oh, really?
Just horrible. And I'm glad in this one, I think it's new that when you lose,
you can
continue at least.
Right,
so at least I can hear the other songs.
Right.
The other games, I would only get
to
like, wow, I'm sure there's some other good songs in here, but I'm never going to hear them.
I'll just like, you know, buy the soundtrack.
So I need like someone to sit down with me and say, look, stupid, this is what you're doing wrong, because I don't know what it is.
I need it too. I mean, I guess I am good. I wouldn't say I'm great because I see people pulling off ridiculous scores. My friend Andy Rugals from VidGames back in the day, he's got like 7 9s. He's got 9,999,999 on his records. And it's like,
what?
That's ridiculous because my high score right now is like 500,000 or something. And I actually noticed while I'm playing that, okay, I kind of do the same things over and over again. So I'm stopping short of like building up really big combos and getting really good at it. But I am starting to see like where, you know, little things happen. I'm like, okay, if I can repeat this and plan for this, I'm going to get better. I think you just have to keep playing it. And like,
I maybe need to watch somebody who's good and see, because I'm obviously missing something.
You know what's a good drill? A good drill to get is like when you first start the game, you know how if you clear it of any one color, you get a 1,000-point bonus? Like,
no.
So like, there's two colors.
I should take the tutorial.
There's two colors. And if you clear the screen of one color and then the bar goes past, you get a 1,000 points bonus. If you clear it of both colors, you get a 10,000 points bonus. But anyway, a good drill, I think, is to try and like just constantly get one color on the screen. Like so that way you look for ways and you learn ways to get rid of when there's like one block or whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or like make blocks drop in a way to make them go away. And when you get good at that, then you can sort of build up and start going further. It's so good though. I really love it. I mean Gravity Rush is probably my favorite like real Vita game because it's but Luminous is like something that should just be part of the OS. Like I just need to be on the system all
you know
the time.
It's so deja vu. Like the PSP came out and I got a PSP, a used PSP actually, and it smelled like marijuana.
It wasn't mine.
Was
this back in Tennessee? Or?
It was back in Tennessee, and like it always smelled like that. That was the thing. It never stopped smelling like that. So they were.
Maybe that like someone was like storing it in the system somewhere.
Maybe. I got
across the border.
I got
Did
Luminous
you notice you get yourself getting feeling kind of funny when your PSP
got
warmed up?
You know, Luminous was a special game for me.
I call bullshit that JJ knows what marijuana smells.
I did. When I was in high school, I knew dealers and stuff like that. Anyways.
All right.
I didn't actually do any of it myself. I'm too much of a goody two shoes.
He's like Bill Clinton.
Yeah. anyways.
Well, cool. Okay. You were just saying that Luminous is like basically repeating the whole
Luminous
thing.
Yeah, like marijuana, is what JJ was saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is
that's
in a way.
That's what I bought too.
It's great. I actually played another rhythm game too.
Oh, right.
Fiat Rhythm.
Fiat Rhythm.
And it made me depressed because Final Fantasy used to have awesome music. Like, holy shit. The music in the old games is so good. Like, Uematsu in his prime was. I was thinking about, because, you know. So, okay, let me start from the beginning. Theater Rhythm is basically a Final Fantasy anniversary game for 3DS in Japan, and it's just a simple, pretty simple music, tapping game. Yeah. You tap along to the rhythm. It's kind of like Groove Coaster a little bit in that it takes the standard sort of, the iOS game, Groove Coaster, it takes the standard sort of beats coming down a track and mixes it up a little bit, like... There are three different kinds of songs. So actually, every game, it goes through every game in the series, Final Fantasy 1 through 13. and each one has, it's sort of like a track. So you play the, you pick a game, mm-hmm. and then you'll start with that game's opening music. And all you're doing, if I remember this correctly, all you're doing is like tapping along, like these little notes come off from the side of the screen towards the middle on this like crystal,
yeah.
and you tap when they hit the crystal. It's really simple, and you just play the music. Then it goes into the real, there's like three real songs for that game. Mm-hmm. There's like the field music, there's battle music, and then there's like event music, you know, like mm-hmm. cutscene music, right. whatever. And each one of those has a different method of playing. So like one of them, you're like, you're dragging like the disc like up and down on the screen to hit like different points, and then like, you know, letting go and swiping to the left and right like you do in Groove Coaster and doing right. all this stuff. Another one, like it's going around in circles on the screen and you're sort of like following the track, like it's like going on a spiral like into the screen sort of thing.
You are blowing my mind right now. I have no idea.
Yeah,
like, that sounds like
it's blowing your mind because you don't understand. Or
yeah, it's like a record.
No, not really, but it's just like the standard tracks go from right the left side of the screen to the right, and you're tapping and you're swiping and you're
right. I know from the demo there's like a battle scene where you see your four characters
right.
line up.
That's the one. That's the standard.
And the little buttons will go over to your characters and you hit them like right. as. But the, you were the playing event, Owen Don or
the
something.
Event one, like it plays the music, like Final Fantasy VI, it plays the opera music or whatever. And then,
yes.
but instead of it coming from left to right, it's just like, you know, the track appears very briefly and then like maybe does like a circular motion on the screen. And so you kind of follow it. Usually you're like dragging the thing along with
it
or something.
It along?
Sometimes you're tracing, sometimes you're just tapping.
Okay.
And then it like disappears. So you don't have a whole lot of time to see it before, you know, you just follow it and you kind of have to keep the rhythm. It's like the same thing from left to right, but going in a circle usually.
Is the game fun?
It's fun. It's fun to the level that, like, you know, it's a standard rhythm game. Like, Groove Coaster, I think, is amazingly fun. It's awesome because the music is really good. It just really gets you into it. This game, I would say, if it weren't for the awesome music, it would be pretty standard. But because it's got great Final Fantasy music from over the years, it's probably worth playing. It's got DLC, too. Like, I haven't bought any yet. They're 100 yen a track. You could download these tracks to play in challenge mode, which is... I guess that's cool, but like 15 tracks, it's like another $15 for a game that's already like $50. So
right.
60. Yeah. Actually, with the exchange rate, it's more like 75. Yeah.
But the music is so good. I was playing like Final Fantasy V songs and Final Fantasy IV and Final Fantasy VI, and I was thinking back and like how much the music used to move me in those games back in the Super Nintendo days and like, you know, how big a part of the experience it was. Whereas now, I don't really associate Final Fantasy so much with the music anymore. Like, it's good. It's still really good, but it's not like...
Everybody remembers the battle theme from Final Fantasy XIII as being really a good piece of music. Right. However...
But the game itself was kind of sullied it, I think.
I think it's not so much the new game's music's fault so much as the games just aren't as good, so you don't have the emotional connection with
That's
the music.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
Right. And then after you go through those three tracks, then you have the ending theme, and you do the end, and that's good because they all have really great ending themes.
Right.
And you actually pick a party, you pick characters from each game, and you're leveling them up as you play. You get like experience points, and so their abilities will get higher in like different levels, like their rhythm or whatever.
What does that get you?
I actually don't know yet because you can also play the game Suppin, which is like, I don't know what they call it in the English versions, but like naked, basically. No like special abilities on. And if you do that, you get more points at the end. So I've been playing without any of that on.
I see.
But I think you could turn on special abilities to make the game a little easier for you, depending.
There seems to be like a lot more to this game than I thought. I thought it was just going to be like, here's a track list, tap.
Yeah, no, it's really polished. It's really nice. My only real complaint, and this is really hardcore, is just that like... The songs don't always play all the way to the end. Sometimes they like fade out, you know, because I mean,
well,
I guess
some of them are kind of like loops. They're
right,
sometimes
right.
not made to
but it's just sometimes like they pick out at they end out at parts where I thought it was kind of strange. But you know, I don't really know why they do that. So but it's fun.
I hope
it comes out in English.
Would you recommend it to someone who wasn't a Final Fantasy fan, like just someone who really likes rhythm games?
Well, that's the only, yeah, it's. I would say it's good for people who like rhythm games and people who like Final Fantasy. I wouldn't recommend it for anyone else, like, because it's not, yeah. But it's polished, and it's good. Mm. So if you like Groove Coaster, you'll probably like it.
So, Girls RPG?
Oh, yeah.
We'll end with Girls
Game
RPG.
Of the year.
Level 5 sent us a copy. They sent us all their games. Hiroko's, you know, tight with those guys, and they sent her a copy of Girls RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And since she for 3DS, and since she's in GDC, I asked her if I could open it up and try it. So I did, but honestly, I only played it like an hour. I made my character.
Oh,
so
you can make your Goyle?
You pick from like different hairstyles and eye styles, and you can choose from like four body types. So I made mine tall and busty.
Oh, nice.
Of course, and
very realistic
just like John,
for Japan.
You know.
Yeah. Yes, of course. And it's funny because the story is you're this Inaka, this girl from like the God, I'm forgetting English.
Boondocks,
from, yeah,
country.
From the boonies, basically, the countryside. And
Bumblefuck.
She moved to Neo Ginza. And Neo Ginza, and where there are these like butterflies, these like sparkling butterflies that apparently, like, maybe you understood it better than me, Brendan, but like, apparently, if you see one of these butterflies, it's like a really good thing.
They bring good luck. It's ridiculous.
You know, she's out on the street on her first night there or whatever, and she happens to get one of these butterflies lands on her face, and like these kogals come up, these like glitzy, like, you know, super high hair, like kind of slutty looking girls are like, you know, basically are like, yeah, whatever, you didn't see no butterfly, blah blah blah, and they give her like an invite to join, to come to their club.
Yeah, you're a liar, come to our club.
Yeah, well, it was weird, they weren't like, it's not like America where everybody abuses everyone, it was more just like, you know, but anyway,
a little known fact about this game, totally true story, they do have butterflies like that in Ginza that fly around and give you good luck. And
they do.
Is this you trying to be funny again?
Of course.
Okay.
Funny.
<Thanks. laughs> No, I wasn't questioning whether that was real. I was simply questioning if that was a joke because I couldn't even tell.
You need to work on your delivery there.
It's so good that you guys, it just like freezes everything. Everybody just
you think that
trying to kill the conversation.
Anyway,
I didn't actually play that much. I got back to the house. You go and you get part time work at this like flower shop, and you go back to the house. And then it sort of becomes an RPG. You can level up. Apparently, I haven't even leveled up yet. You make your own name card. Like in Japan, people, especially girls, tend to like when they're like young, make their own sort of like, it's like a business card, but it's not for business. It's just a name card, a nice looking thing with their name on it that they hand out to people. And you make your own, and you apparently exchange them on StreetPass. So I have that turned on. So we'll see if anybody like gets my card.
Oh, wow!
I put a quote from Zelda on my card.
Oh, nice.
But anyway, that's all I've played so far. I haven't seen it. Looks like it might be fun for girls.
Haven't played any of like the actual gameplay.
No. Well, that's you explore a little bit when you first get into this town because you have to walk basically home, and then you got home, and then to be honest, then I was like, I want to play Theater Rhythm, so I stopped playing. This is a game that I played for the hell of it. Like I would never go out of my way to actually play it, and I wouldn't recommend it to anybody who's not like a 17-year-old Japanese girl.
Sure.
It is rated C, so
because you're a hostess, you're drinking beer.
Yeah, apparently you're going to become a hostess or whatever. And hostesses are Japan's, you know,
scandalous.
They're like modern geisha. They are entertainers of the night. They don't.
They're not sluts.
They don't put out. They just kind of give good conversation.
They're there to make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That's a dark and seedy world.
Right.
We'll go
into. My wife took a cab home from work late night. You know, she's working late one night, and the cab driver sometimes that try to chat you up. And
right.
My wife hates that, of course. She just wants them to shut up. But the guy's like, he's like, oh, so you're a hostess, huh? I always pick up these hostesses around here this time.
Wow.
And she's like, no. And you know, the guy just won't stop, and she just like just eventually just stops talking.
That seems so weird. Like, why would he like automatically assume
She should have said, like, no, I'm a lawyer or something. Yeah. You know?
That's what I said. I said, did you say that? And she's like, no, I don't even want to, like, give the guy any more information to talk to him.
I understand
So just
that.
Keep saying no. And he goes, I pick up a lot of hostess around here. And she's like, all right.
How funny is that, though? Like, he's talking to a lawyer and, like, he's thinking she's a hostess.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I was like, wow, that's hot.
Hiroko was saying, like, last week or something, the cab driver, like, nomped her or something. He was,
Cab driver was like, oh man, you totally look like my favorite actress, like, do you want to go out sometime?
Oh, God.
And apparently he was like a younger guy who was acting kind of like a, you know,
he was the
idiot.
Cool taxi driver.
Yeah, he was a cool guy.
Hey baby, like my car.
He was driving the Nissan Leaf taxi.
Which actually costs the same as a regular taxi.
They're pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
Which is lame. Anyways, let's go into news.
Cool.
Brendan, do you want to do the news music? Yeah, it's not as good as how I did.
Yeah, I think you should just do the music yourself in the future.
Why did you ask me?
I just wanted to humiliate you, Brendan, because I get that all
JJ
the time.
Gets humiliated all the time, so now that he's the host, he has to lay it on someone else. And you are the new guy, Brendan.
It's
true,
you are.
Relatively. So.
In the senpai-kohai relationship we have going here, you are definitely the kohai.
Fair enough.
Everybody's like, what?
Yeah, that's...
just watch Rising Sun. It'll
watch anime, and you'll figure it out. So, the iPad... 3, the new iPad. Is that what
it's
official?
It's not the iPad 3, apparently. Just it's the just iPad. The iPad.
Okay, so it's not the new iPad. It's just iPad.
I don't think on the back of this thing it says, like, the new iPad, if that's what you're asking.
Right, but like, just on the
website,
it
just says iPad.
Really? Yeah. On the website, it's well, maybe it was just, okay, flavor text.
It's
whatever.
Just iPad.
Yeah. Okay, so it's fucking powerful.
Amazing.
It has resolution better than your fucking TV.
Yep. Exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting.
And there was this picture, I don't know if you guys saw this, of the, it was a picture of just like a square that's at iPad resolution. Okay. And they stuffed every single fucking
portable device
inside of it. Easily. And there was like extra space.
You mean like the screen of La Vita?
The resolution of the Vita, the 3DS.
I see.
Phones, all of that fit in one.
All of that fit.
With wow. Room to spare.
Including the original iPad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so exciting.
It's like, and you know, this announcement kind of, you know, I've seen the Vita a few times, and the screen, like, while it's nice, it's never, like, it doesn't have much impact for me. Like, when I see it, I'm like, okay, well, that's a nice screen. But, like, I realize that because...
Vita's got a nice screen.
It does, but, like, the Retina display...
Well, yeah.
It's like, the resolution, really, it's like watching standard definition versus high definition for me. Like, it's that big of a difference. And hopefully, I mean, apparently the iPad 3, or we'll just call it iPad 3, is not exactly up to snuff when it comes to processing power compared to the Vita.
Really?
It does have more RAM than even the 360 or PS3, but the processor is still a little bit weaker. Like, maybe it's dual core versus quad core on the Vita.
I'm not really buying it for games, to be honest. Like, I mean, it's nice that I have the option, I guess.
iPad's quad core, though.
I
think the processor is quad core, but the graphics is dual. And on Vita, it's the opposite or something. I don't know. Whatever. It's not important because the Vita is a gaming machine and iPad is for all sorts of things. But I do game on it a lot, and I'm really excited about playing
Dungeons.
Well, not really that game, but just any game in that resolution.
Yeah,
in my hands.
It's going to be nice. It'll be interesting to see what happens from there. I mean, they're so damn expensive. Like, I think, you know, if you're going to get, like, games that really take advantage of it that aren't going to work on old iPads, they're going to be rare because you've got such a huge install base that you'd have to ignore if you're going to make a game that only takes advantage
of
the iPad 3.
It would work just like on the iPhone. There's a regular version and a Retina version.
Right, yeah. Well, that would be nice if developers actually do that. Yeah. I saw that Infinity Blade Dungeons was announced. I don't know. I'm getting kind of tired of Infinity Blade, but the idea of a dungeon crawler still does excite me. I love dungeon
no,
games.
I think this is the system that they can port Diablo 3 to.
Yeah, we'll see.
I would like that. I would like that very much.
I do have one question about the name, though. Is if it's just the iPad, how are people going to distinguish between the original iPad and this one? Because I bet a lot of consumers are going to get confused.
If you look at the screen, you'll be like, oh.
I don't know. I mean, I think the old iPad's going to be phased out anyway. So
They don't sell it anymore.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So that's weird. So you have the iPad or the iPad 2, which is inferior to the iPad.
That's where the problem is going to come in. People are all going to buy the iPad 2 because they don't realize.
Just a couple other fun facts. It's a little bit heavier than the iPad 2, 1.44 pounds.
But is it still lighter than the iPad 1?
It's still lighter than the iPad 1, which was like 1.56 pounds.
Okay.
So it's
you probably couldn't even feel it at that point.
This actually matters to me because I'm going from an iPad 1 to an iPad 3. And the thing I liked about the 2 was that it was light.
It is lighter. The 2 is lighter by about 0.10 pounds.
Okay.
But, you know, you're splitting hairs at that point. It supports 4G connection, LTE technology, which is super fast wireless shit.
Which is going to be spreading all over Japan very soon, apparently.
It's actually already has.
Right, yes. But I mean, as far as like being able to make use of it, because not a lot of carriers are actually...
Oh, well, that's true.
Now I think you just need to have a separate modem.
Right, you have to have a separate device to do it. I know SoftBank does it and Docomo does. Actually, I think all of them do it, but you have to have a separate one.
Right. And it's really fast. I'm actually, if I get one of these, I think I might get the 4G version because... you can take it anywhere.
Is the 4G version... Wait, what do you mean you could take it anywhere? So you could do that with the last one, too.
You could do a last one, but unless... You know, 3G, you're dealing with a very slow network for a lot of data compared to the iPhone.
But you're going to pay the monthly fee or whatever to do all that?
It'd probably be like $20. It's not that big of a deal. And if I buy it through the cell phone company, I might be able to just get the thing for free.
That's true.
What did you do, Chibi? You got one, right?
Yeah, I got the 32 gig Wi-Fi.
Me too, exactly. White, I got black, okay.
So. Yeah, and so, you know, this is a gaming podcast, so just like to talk about this in terms of gaming, like it's not going to change the landscape, I don't think. A lot of people are like, oh, fuck, game changer, you know what I'm saying?
Somebody did put a, some like major site put a story about how it's, I think it was CNN or
CNN
something,
did.
Yeah, about how it's a video game changer, but.
It'll be interesting to see how the developers use all that, the real estate. On the
I don't think they will.
Right.
Then you're limiting it to just people who have the new version.
I think eventually, maybe 3 years from now, when the base level is this, it'll be fucking nuts. But right now, it's just going to be, you know, early adopters. It'll be beautiful to look at, but I think you're still going to want to do your gaming on a Vita, a Wii U, or a...
not a Wii U.
A 3DS. Well, okay. Not for you, Cheapy. Maybe for me, though.
I'm excited. I didn't buy it for games. I bought it for like the same thing I bought my iPad 1 for, which is like browsing, watching videos, you know, stuff like that.
So porn.
Books, is it the Apple One, whatever? Like I read a lot of books on my iPad, so
iPorn and iBooks are different.
They're very similar.
Okay. But what you can't play on your iPad is Pokemon Black and White 2, or as they call it, Pokemon Black Version 2, Pokemon White Version 2.
Didn't we have a name for it?
B2 White 2.
B2 White 2, that's right.
Is what we call it here. Not available on iOS for the 5 billionth time.
And not being created for 3DS,
which is shocking.
It's not shocking to me, but it's a bummer.
I think it's a surprise.
I don't think so, because like I don't think they've ever done that where it was like the third version was on the new system. Usually they squeeze out one more. They finish off that kind of series on the system that it started on, and then
because they make these quote unquote like, well, I don't know, like expansions or director's cuts, whatever, for the people who played the first one. So like it would be weird to like, you know, kind of limit it to only people who owned a 3DS when gazillion of people, you know, bought it on DS.
Right. But what is weird is that this is the first time that they've released one of these games as two different games.
Right. Right. It was always just like the next shade.
Right. It would have been gray if they had continued the naming.
Which I did say they wouldn't do it on this podcast, because to me that gray is like calling it Pokemon bland or something. It's like, it's just so dull.
But Black 2, White 2, B2, White 2. It's probably going to be the same game that you love. And
and you can play it on 3DS. They made a point. I mean, of course, they made a point to make that a sales thing or whatever on the website. But I'm going to probably check it out. I check out every Pokemon and get tired of it pretty quickly usually.
Yeah.
But I recently, like I said last time, I recently met the director of the series. So now I'm kind of like, okay, I want to see what this guy does.
Right.
Let's try it out again. So I'll give it another shot.
Yeah. So if you like Pokemon, good for you.
Are you not a Pokemon?
I appreciate it, but it's just
Chibi, you're big into Pokemon, right?
I actually bought one.
Really?
Oh man. All the names sound the same. Gold, silver, platinum.
It's a color. You're pretty likely to guess
just
one of them.
I don't know. I bought one and actually I liked it. It was pretty good, but it's a lot, right? It's a lot of game there. And I'm not gonna put that much time into like a portable game like that. Must have probably played like 5 hours of it.
Isn't Ty getting close to the age now? Your son, he's getting close to Pokemon age though, right?
I mean, I've done a good job of shielding him from Pokemon. I got him on the Knight Rider right now.
Your son is going to go, like when he's in elementary school, he's going to go in and all the kids are going to be playing Pokemon and he's like, have you guys ever heard of like the monsters?
You're right, though. I only really introduce him to things that I'm interested in, and I talk to him like he's a 30-year-old guy. So his vocabulary is pretty good, and he doesn't really, you know, he knows Power Rangers, but I don't want to watch Power Rangers.
Also pretty old at this point.
Yeah,
yeah, but people with the Gokaiser or whatever, the pirate one now, they're on the pirate.
Okay, yeah, like, okay. I don't
know. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm going to increase his exposure.
I just showed him Super Pursuit Mode, you know, kids Super Pursuit Mode, and that just like blew his mind. He's like, oh my God.
All right. So, you know, people have been dying for us to talk about this thing on Twitter. They were calling us out. Our friend of the show, Phil Fish, kind of made a comment at GDC.
Yes.
I actually have the real comment, but let's just start like chronologically what happened.
Okay.
This website, developonline.net, released an article about a comment that Phil Fish said after the screening of the movie that he's in called Indie Game the Movie.
Which I really want to see.
I really want to see
it. I'm super jealous that all those guys have seen it. You know, so Mark and Hiroko, like we said earlier, are over at GDC right now.
Did they watch it?
I don't know, but I mean, they're in the midst of all this awesomeness, and I'm quietly... I wouldn't say raging. It's more like I'm crying inside that I can't be there because
Twitter is unbearable.
Yeah, it's tough because it's not like it's they're just having a blast. Like they're all the awesome people in the same place, all this awesome stuff going on, including that movie, which has, you know, a lot of people we know in it.
Right. And so for the Q&A that happened after the movie,
right,
a poor Japanese man had the gumption. And like, I want to preface this. This guy, we actually know.
He's a friend of mine,
He's a friend of John's. Before coming to GDC, which he paid to go to GDC by himself.
Right.
It's his first time at GDC. He like went and changed everything in his house to English and practiced English as much as he could. He was really excited to go. Comes in the first day of GDC. He gets the like
bright-eyed, bushy-tailed
the gumption to ask a question. And he, because like, you know, he watches the movie and they're like, we love these old Japanese games. So he's like, okay, that, you know, I'm really proud to hear something like that. You know, the game's my culture is being appreciated. And he comes up and he asks, hey, so what do you think about Japanese games now? And according to the first article that came out from Develop Online, Phil Fish said, your games just suck. And
this has caused quite a stir.
And this has caused quite a stir. Like, everybody on Gaff is like out for Phil Fish's head. You know, people are bothering him on Twitter.
Right.
And,
but that's not, that was just the initial quote. There was a lot more to follow.
Right. So his actual, what he actually said was, he did though actually say, your games just suck. And this is actually from a member on Gaff who was there. His name is Toggles Whirl. He's paraphrasing. The quote was, your games just suck, your design is stuck in a rut. And then like the crowd went silent and everybody's like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And then actually Phil apologized. He was like, I'm so sorry. He knew that he had said something that was a little, you know, inappropriate.
I think it was just unfortunate wording. I mean, it was one of those probably, you know, kind of caught up in the moment things where, because at the heart of what he's saying is not really untrue. I mean, it's not that Japanese games suck, but first of all, they're talking about modern games. He was asking what now games nowadays are like.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. And they're, you know, we all have said many times, like, Japanese games have not quite been, you know, up to snuff in recent years for a number of reasons.
Well, so we'll get into that in just a second. So he said all this stuff and, like, the internet exploded. And I was really, really interested to see what Japanese people would say about this. And there was an article on Hachimakiko, which is a big gaming blog in Japan. And they post responses from 2Channel for every article they post. 2Channel is like the hugest, biggest message board in Japan, and they have like a gaming
session. And on Earth, actually.
Yeah, on Earth. And so, like, let me just read some of the comments. This one guy was like, who? I think a lot of people were like, who's Phil Fish?
Yeah.
There was another guy who was like, hey, don't be dissing Nagoshi, the maker of binary domain.
And he actually used the word diss, right?
Yeah, it says diss in English here. There was another guy who's like, even if you include companies like Sega, Nintendo, and Capcom, it's true, Japanese games do suck. If you're referring to games like Vanquish and Binary Domain, please, by all means, say more.
Yeah. What did he mean? What do you think they meant by that? Like, is he saying those games are good, or is he saying...
No, I think he's saying... there's a lot of Japanese people who think, like, this whole push for Japanese games to be more Western is, like, misguided, and these games are just not good.
Yeah.
So that's a comment about that.
That's a comment about that.
And there are a lot of Japanese people who just don't like Japanese games.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, really don't.
There was another guy, all we have is Nintendo, really. They're the only company I can offer an opposition to his claim. By the way, I actually translated these. I'm not a real translator, so these are just my words that I'm using.
Wait a minute, Jay. That's not what it... No, I'm just kidding.
And another guy was like, Capcom and Nintendo are mentioned a lot as being people who can compete. And my favorite quote was another Nagoshi quote, but this guy says, this is really going to piss off the black baby Yakuza that works at Sega. Because he looks like... You know, he's super tan. He kind of looks like a baby. And he kind of looks like a Yakuza. In the end, basically, the Japanese reception of these comments weren't really what I was expecting. I was expecting kind of like a nationalist, like, hey, don't fucking talk about our games like that.
Sure, sure.
But a lot of people were pretty honest about it. And, you know, there were people, of course, who were like, well, to be honest, you know, most Western games are also shitty. And it's true.
I know one guy was saying, like, you know, Western games used to be really shitty, and that's totally a valid comment. Back in the day, it was the complete opposite, right?
Right. And so, like, you know, I think Phil's comments, you know, while he used the kind of wrong wording, struck a chord with a lot of people.
Right. I kind of think this is going to turn out to be something that actually is a very good thing, because people are talking about it in Japan. And I mean, maybe this wasn't the best way to get it across, but I think it's important that that message is heard. You know, Inafune's been saying, we'll talk about him in a bit too, I guess, but Keiji Inafune, formerly of Capcom, has been ragging the Japanese industry for a few years now. That's kind of become his thing. But, you know, it seems like people don't listen. But this, you know, comment by Phil has sort of raised some, you know,
it is kind of a wake up call for the Japanese gaming industry. And the guy who asked the question on Twitter today, like, finally today we all found out who the guy was, and there was an interview with a site that I can't remember, but he did post his comments also on Twitter. And he was saying, like, you know, it's okay. Like, he actually took it in stride. During when it actually happened, he kind of froze up. Apparently, he didn't understand what Phil actually said.
Right.
But he kind of got it from the way everybody was reacting. And, he said, like, you know, on Twitter, it's like, it's okay. Phil apologized personally to this guy today.
Which is awesome.
Which is great. I think it was really big of Phil to do that. And, you know, he's like, it's okay. Like, GDC really just, like, in general, even just inspired me to want to do better. And I think hopefully that's the takeaway from all this, is that Japanese developers see this and they're like, okay, well, you know, the rest of the world, they did love us at one point. But
right
now, you know, we're, as Inafune says, like, resting on their laurels, making the same game over and over again.
Right, because nobody goes... I mean, it's not like... I mean, I don't think... I honestly believe that the heart of his comment was not meant to be, like, insulting or to, you know, sort of sound superior. It was more, like, probably comes out of all of us having had a big love for Japanese games back in the day and feeling let down, you know what I mean, lately, by there not being... You know, while all this was going on... it's interesting. I was looking at GAF today. There was a thread about, I don't remember if it was a thread or just part of another thread, but someone was showing comparison pictures of Ghouls and Ghosts. The arcade version, the Genesis version, the, you know, 68,000 version from Japan, like these four different versions of the same screen. And looking at those pictures was interesting in its own right, because it's cool to see how the games differ from each other. But it struck a chord with me, because it was like, this game had such an awesome, cool, unique design. Like, the character and the setting and everything was so... I mean, it is distinctly, quote-unquote, Japanese to me, because it was made in Japan and everything. But it's like, that was an era when everything that came out of Japan was new and unique and interesting. And nowadays, I feel like everything that comes out of Japan... Not everything, but a lot of what comes out of Japan is like, either trying to imitate what's going on in the West, or just trying to do the same thing they did before, but, like, in HD or whatever.
Right.
Like,
right.
There's not a lot of risk-taking and a lot of, like, originality. And it's not like that's dead. I think that just needs to be reawakened.
Right.
People need to take more risks out here. Because when you see stuff like Ghouls and Ghosts, like, how can you not feel like, wow, they were so amazing, you know,
That game would never... be made today.
No.
As a new IP, never. It's you know, the whole thing, it kind of highlights a game like Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. We talk about Dark Souls all the time, but it is a game that is modern and at the same time keeps kind of like the Japanese design philosophy that we grew up
on. It's a very Japanese game.
And it's successful because of that.
Exactly.
And I think
people,
you know,
love it. People actually who got a chance to get into it and play it love it. You know, we've been saying the same thing about Monster Hunter forever. Like, sooner or later, Monster Hunter is going to... It's so close right now to breaking that, like, barrier of entry point, and people are going to love it, because, like, it is really... It's a lot like Dark Souls. It is a very similar, reward system, like, where you put a lot of effort into it and you get a lot out of it.
Right.
But it's just the barrier there. So, like, I feel like that Japanese... game design philosophy still very much is unique and exists, but people just have to give it more of a chance. Or, you know, the games have to be made to be more accessible, so they want to give it a chance.
Inafune, on the, I think it was the next day or the same day, had a speech kind of like about you know, the state of Japanese development.
Which we interpreted, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, actually, one of the things, reasons Hiroko and Mark are out there is because at GDC is, you know, we've been working with GDC for years in setting up speakers to go talk at the show, but we've never been involved in the translation, the interpretation that happens there. And every year there's always a number of complaints about people who can't tell what the hell is being said because the interpretation is just, like, so, you know, half-assed or whatever. You know, usually because they just use regular interpreters who don't really know a lot about games, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So this year we sort of put ourselves up and said, you know, well, let us try and help out. And so actually Mark and Hiroko totally did all the work on this. I just kind of watched all the emails, but basically set up you know, a system where we kind of handled almost all of the Japanese speeches this year. There were a couple where the company themselves, like Nintendo or Capcom, did their own. But otherwise, like, we did Inafune's speech, we did Wada's speech, we on Harvest Moon, we did a bunch of, like, actually pretty big name Japanese developers. Interpretation.
And the guy who made Groove Coaster Race.
Yes. I've been asking around. I'm like asking people who have gone to them in the previous years, like, how was it? Was it, you know, did we actually make a difference? Was it good? And I've actually heard that they were really good. Like, apparently the interpreting was really smooth and people understood what everybody was saying.
That's
so
good to hear.
Really excited that we could actually have an impact on, you know, this most, like, amazing show. So, well, props to Mark and Hiroko.
It's good because I think Inafune had a lot of interesting things to say. And, yes. Let me just kind of go through some of the key points here. You know, he starts out, he says the Japanese game industry has become very close-minded. And what he means by that is that, you know, they're very sequel-heavy. They kind of rely on what has worked in the past.
Right.
He goes on to say, like, you know, a few years ago, he kind of said some bad, like, it was, I think it was TGS 2 years ago?
Two or three years ago.
Where he was like, you know, I walked around the TGS, you know, show floor and I came to a realization that the Japanese game industry is dead. And he goes on to say, he's like, I said those words because I wanted to light a fire under the Japanese video game industry before it was too late. And he doesn't think it's too late just yet. He says, perhaps those folks running the show in Japan are the ones who simply jumped on the bandwagon, and those creations, the ones that, you know, the sequels and the kind of samey games that are coming out, that measured up the global standards at one point, were created by our predecessors. We have lost a lot of those in Japan. Meaning, like...
Yeah, what does he mean? You lost me there.
I'm sorry, I kind of read it in a weird way. But basically, I think he's saying is, like, all the people who made the games that we love aren't in the gaming industry anymore. And it's just these guys who come in halfway and are like, okay, these things were successful. Let's just
try to imitate what was done
before. Run that shit into the ground. And that's it. I get the feeling more and more that, like, there's a lot of the reason why the gaming industry is in Japan is failing isn't because there's a lack of guys who have, like, the imagination who want to create cool games. I think it's just the people upstairs are like, we only want money. So do
right.
What
the development environments here on a lot of these companies do not foster, like, growth and, like, bringing people up. Like, one thing that I think is really nice about Nintendo is, like, they actually have a system in place to do that. So that's why you get games like Mario 3D Land from these, you know, guys who were previously just, like, you know, juniors on the previous games, like, and make these amazing games because they bring them up to be leaders. Whereas in a lot of these companies, like, the guys who were doing it big back in the day just sit at the top, enjoy their, like, expense account or whatever, and like,
Ferraris.
You know, and don't let anybody else take the credit or the wheel. Like, they don't let them basically do their own thing.
It's so,
like,
yeah, I was going to say is that I think, you know, Fune is wrong in the sense that he assumes that the creators are all gone. I think they're still there. They're just, they did it once and they did it great and they figure, well, now I don't have to do anything new and I just sit there. So I think it's less of a everyone's gone is that there aren't new people coming in and not even coming in halfway. It's just the same old guys.
It's kind of a thing, like, how many Japanese guys who head video games do you know these days?
Right, not many. Most people know about, like, Kojima and, like, you know, or Inafune and,
But there's
Miyamoto.
Really only a handful.
Right.
Like, that are making real console games. There's, like, just, like, you know, maybe 20 guys at the most.
Right, but there are young creators, like you mentioned him earlier, but Ishida-san, the guy who did Groove Coaster and Space Invaders Infinity Gene, like, that guy's making awesome stuff, and like, there are definitely lots of other people like him in the industry who are just sort of, you know, they need to rise up, basically.
They need to
be allowed to rise up.
I think there's, like, this, you know, this barrier that is holding off the Japanese gaming industry from succeeding, and once that barrier dies
off, basically,
right, once those guys die off, sadly, or get fired, or someone comes in and it's just like enough or whatever, like, I think, you know, Japan, like, people will stop saying things like Japanese games just suck, because, you know, there's nothing that Americans have in their genes or whatever that make, you know, that allow them
more money, though.
They do have more money, but money is not the issue.
Money's not really the issue.
Because, like, you know, games can rely on gameplay, and gameplay doesn't cost money.
And in Japan, like, gaming is so much a part of the culture that the money, you can get the money. You just have to get out there and break that little
barrier. Not in the way, I mean, the American gaming industry has Hollywood.
Japan will never have a game that has the budget of, like, Assassin's Creed or whatever. But at the same time, right. Like, I think that, I don't think that...
Hello.
I think our neighbors are loud if you heard that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think that there's plenty of opportunity for, you know, goodness to come out of Japan. I think it just needs to be fostered in these companies. And, yeah. You know, Inafune himself, if that's what he's saying, that's great. I definitely don't disagree. I think he takes a lot of flack for being kind of, you know, I think people some think he's a bit of a loudmouth in a sense. But I think it's good that he's making these comments. And I hope that... You know, he's got his new company or companies, I think. You know, hopefully he'll put his...
He's got three companies.
Hopefully he'll put his money where his mouth is. I mean, he is one of these old school creators. So let's, right. You know, you right. make some awesome
he's,
stuff
he's
yourself.
He announced a game for Vita at this.
Yeah, he said he's working on something for Vita.
And then he's got a 3DS game, that Umiyo or whatever. Three Kingdoms with penguins.
A lot of pressure for him, right?
It is a lot of pressure.
You go around talking shit about your
seriously.
your home team and right. you're up to bat.
You better deliver.
Better deliver.
But like, I hope the combination of these things kind of lights a fire.
Yeah, it's nice that this stuff is coming up in the news here and everything, yeah. And you know, but yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, it's all good in the hood, y'all.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice that those two, Phil and Goto-san, like, got to actually exchange, you know, stuff on Twitter. And
yeah.
He apologized, he accepted, and they were very nice to each other. They're both, you know, I think Phil's, you know, under a lot of pressure right now and taking a lot of flack from a lot of people. But
right.
I mean, you really need to have the whole story before you go attacking him.
Exactly.
And he should be congratulated too, because Fez took the, which award did it get?
It got the Seamus McNally Grand Prize.
Which is like the big deal. That's
$30,000.
Like wow. Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, damn. Nice.
That'll buy damn. You a car.
That's what you get when you design the 8-4 New Year's card, right? which Phil did design
true.
This year.
True. We have, on the IGF award list, we have two.
That's right.
8-4 New Year's card alumni.
So now, that if those of you who want to succeed in the future, just come to us and design our card.
Yeah, we are a good luck butterfly.
Right, that lands on your nose.
Right.
Makes you
we aren't that far from Ginza.
The other people that we're talking about are... actually, no, this wasn't IGF. This was the actual Game Developers Conference Awards.
Yes. Which I want to add are amazing and awesome and so much better than the Spike Awards.
Yeah.
And I hope they become a bigger and bigger deal every year, because like it's a classy award show with like real, you know, people in the industry. It's so much nicer to be.
Awards aren't fueled by dew.
Yeah,
yeah, unfortunately.
Right,
not.
And they're not like all shown in during the commercial break and all that stuff. Where is it?
Well,
best handheld mobile game went to Super Brothers: Sword and Sorcery EP.
Yes,
which.
Our good friends at Cappy Games and yes. Super Brothers. And super congrats to those guys. That was like yes. the best news of the day for me. I flipped out when I saw that.
They beat out Tiny Tower, which yes. is a great game.
That's an impressive
Super
game.
Mario 3D Land.
Yes.
Jetpack Joyride, which was also a really great game. And Infinity Blade 2, which they had to nominate because of politics.
Yes, that is awesome. Congratulations to those guys for winning. And good luck to whoever designs our next card.
Yes. You might get an award. So another big rumor going into GDC was that Valve was making their own console.
Dun, dun, dun. Steambox.
Steambox, which for me was like, fuck yes. Because right. finally I get to play all the games that I bought on Steam. Not because my computer can't handle them. It's because like I just hate playing games on my computer. And then this is when all the PC gamers come in and tell me about... how I can hook my computer up to my TV, but I just don't want to do it, guys. Shut up. Go away.
Everybody's been telling me that for a long time.
Yeah. I know.
One day I'll do it.
I know, guys. Okay, so anyways. Everybody was like, oh, fuck, Valve's making a console. It's going to have biometric controllers that read your pulse and shit. it turns out only a little bit of that was kind of almost true.
Well, we really don't know any... Well, okay.
His name is Doug Lombardi, right? Their PR guy basically kind of shut down the rumor of them building a console. They are building an interface for regular TVs, so you can use whatever computer you have and hook it up to your TV and have like a nice experience. And they are also...
Will that include a controller?
Well, they also said that they are looking into stuff like biometric controllers and all that stuff, but none of it is actually tied to like a real product yet. They leave it pretty open-ended, so it's kind of like a, you know, so you're saying it's a chance, there's a chance sort of deal, but you won't be hearing about it this year.
Right. So if it is, well, do we know that? Did they say we won't be hearing about it this year?
We won't be hearing it for a long time.
I see. I mean, to me, you know, it makes a lot of sense. It would be nice to have the industry sort of disrupted by a Valve console.
And I think this could be very disrupting. Because if I was Microsoft, whose bread and butter is Western games, and like here comes the Vita box that allows people to put Origin, Steam.
Vita box?
I'm sorry. Steam box.
Okay.
Steam box that has Origin, Steam, you know, any other download service.
Right.
Alongside your Xbox, it's just like if I was a third party company, I would be like, "Fuck Microsoft! I got this.
Yeah,
I got the Wild West over here."
No, that's true. But Microsoft already has a huge, huge install base. They have a big, you know, system in place. It's not just that, too. I mean, they've got a worldwide thing going. What is Valve outside of America? You know, like they're
well,
not.
I mean, what is Xbox outside of?
It's not selling, but the infrastructure is completely laid down. I mean, I'm talking about in Japan, but it sells out in lots of places other than, you know, where I think Steam is currently popular.
Well, Steam is growing, and it's growing more and more. And I think if they would offer a development environment free enough for third parties, I think the third parties would go, and then the gamers would go. It doesn't really matter, like, what Xbox has.
GB, you don't play PC games?
I don't. Because like JJ, I don't, you know, I sit at my computer enough, right? For
exactly.
Okay, I don't want to sit there. My hands just can't physically take it. Like, I just can't work the mouse. But I know like a lot of PC games, you can use the Xbox 360 controller.
Right, you can.
Although Mass Effect 3 is not one of them.
But, really?
Yeah.
Really? You can't use the Xbox? Why would they do that?
They took it out. I mean, you could in the earlier ones. But
well,
no,
did they? Oh, okay. Well, anyways. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, you know, I don't want to be on my computer because I got a family. I don't want to ignore everybody. Whatever, but anyways, I hope it comes to
it'll be nice. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I don't think this is necessarily any proof of one way or the other that it's happening or not. I think maybe just the timing isn't there, so they have to sort of, you know, quiet down.
It does sound like, you know, building a special version of Steam for TVs and stuff like that does kind of sound like they are working on
the interface.
Like,
makes sense. The hardware stuff doesn't.
Right.
But what I think they should be worried about, or well, I'm sure they're thinking about is when the inevitable like Apple, you know, TV console interface is going to come, because you know it's coming sooner or later.
Right.
And I think that's going to make things really interesting.
Valve needs to get there first, I think. And if they get there first, I think they can take Apple.
It's got
to
be soon, right?
No matter when they get there, I don't like saying this, but I just have a hard time imagining they can do anything to Apple is just ingrained in everywhere of society in the world. It's like blood. Like, it just flows. And doorbell break.
Hey guys, sorry about that.
We had some packages.
John, you got something from the Club Nintendo.
Yeah, I got this awesome Mario cushion. Like, I can't remember if this is a platinum award or if I like had to blow points, you know, because your points expire.
Right.
Right.
But it says, thank you very much for your love. And it's this rad, like, pixel Mario pillow.
Yeah.
I'll put a picture of it.
It's pretty cool.
On the you can put a picture on the show notes today or whatever. But
okay.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah. So that's that. And we also got a kick-ass
painting from our friends at Robot Invader. So thanks for that, guys. They sent us some artwork. We worked on Wind Up Night with them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this looks awesome. I haven't fully unwrapped it yet, so I can't like completely revel in it, but it like see it a little bit, and it looks pretty rad.
So to go back to what we were talking about, John, you were talking about how you love
Apple.
Steve Jobs, and
yes,
I just think, you know, Apple, whatever they do, is going to be you know, they're dangerous. Like, and they are, you know, Apple is on one side of the fence. They are the sort of closed system. We are going to control your experience because we want it to be a certain way.
Mm. Right.
Valve is on the complete opposite, which is like, we want it to be however we want. You know, you could do whatever you want. You can customize the crap out of it. Personally, I lean a little more towards Apple. I think that you can't control the way, but I think that there is quality that, you know, can only come from doing that.
Well, I think Valve does share that a little bit. I just think
there need to be standards in place at least.
I think Valve, though, as a gamer, I would rather Valve be in this position to like kind of take over the reins of the console industry, because they love games and they love gamers.
Right.
Whereas Apple's just like, we love money.
Yeah, well.
I just feel like Valve probably isn't strong enough by themselves to challenge
Apple. But
if they were to link up with either Microsoft or Sony and try to and connect PlayStation Network with Steam, which they've actually talked about doing in the past.
Right.
If they were to connect with either Microsoft or PlayStation Network in that way, I think that they could possibly challenge Apple in that sense.
Nobody can challenge Apple. They've got more money than fucking the American government.
Okay, survive in the same ecosystem.
No, but I think Valve needs to do it alone.
It's going to be an interesting few years.
And I hope they do. Peter Molyneux is going to be leaving Microsoft off onto a new independent venture.
Is he starting his own thing?
Yeah, I don't know if he's joining a startup called 22 Cans.
22 cans.
Turns out when he actually joins the company, it'll be called like 10 cans. And
is that another joke?
Another joke. Oh. Because he never delivers on his. Okay.
Ah. Let's
see what you do.
You know what the best jokes are? The ones that you have to explain.
Yeah. Yeah. Akira is going to be in the next Dead or Alive 5.
That's pretty cool.
And actually, you know, I think Dead or Alive is a pretty shitty game. But I watched the trailer for this because I was like, I always want to give every game an honest shot. And I was pleasantly surprised. Like, the models for the characters, they don't look like fucking porcelain dolls anymore. They look like real people. They seems like they're putting a lot of effort in modernizing this game, finally.
Well, what we saw a little bit last TGS, and what we saw more of in this trailer is they're making the environments even more like interactive and interesting. Like, they were on a raft and it looked like the raft was about to go overboard, and like the raft was breaking like when it splintered on hitting something. Like, that kind of stuff is awesome.
I think the game's gonna be I'm really interested in the game now. I don't know if it's gonna be like on a competitive level like Virtua Fighter is, but I think it's nice that there's this other kind of game that's doing some shit that, you know, competitive fighters don't do. And that's cool. Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater 3D reception held at Hooters. Classy. Halo 4 got it. Some stuff.
Hang on. I didn't hear this Halo news. What happened? What's the deal?
You know, I don't really know.
Real-time face wrinkling.
Thank you.
Are you serious, or you're just making
stuff
up?
It says in the trailer.
Seriously?
They talk about it. Number one feature. In the trailer.
They're bringing the battle rifle back. That's cool.
From the gist of it, it sounds like they're adding a lot of like Call of Duty online multiplayer kind of things.
I want to care. I hope it's good. We know a lot of really good friends of the show are working over there.
I think the graphics look a lot better than the older versions.
Did they show a new video?
Yeah, they did.
I see.
There's this homebrew Super Mario Brothers game. I don't know what you would call it. It's not a clone. It's actually Super Mario Brothers with a portal gun.
Uh-huh.
I heard about this. Yeah,
It's free to download on the PC. I played it. The controls are kind of off, but it's kind of interesting to have like a portal gun and then. Anyways.
I feel like you could break the game in so many places, though.
You can and you can't. It's actually kind of harder. Corey Balrog, or Barlog. Actually, it's Barlog. I thought it was Balrog.
He's not a Street Fighter character.
You shall not pass to Crystal Dynamics. He's going to be working on the new Tomb Raider reboot and a new yet unannounced title.
Really? He like disappeared for a while, didn't he?
He did. He made God of War 2 and was like, I'm out, guys. And now here he is again.
Tomb Raider was one of the most impressive looking games at E3 last year.
Yes, it did look really awesome, actually. I was super bummed that it wasn't coming out for so long, but I guess now it's this year, right? Isn't it? Or
I don't know.
Yeah, I hope so.
So our next to last news story of the day is Tokyo Jungle.
Yes.
Our favorite game allows you to take your babies out on the hunt.
What does that mean?
So I think last time we talked about how like you can mate in the game. So you mate and then you have kids and then you kind of have to.
They're animals, but
yeah. Well, if they're goats, they're kids.
All right,
fine.
You kind of take them out on the hunt with you and then teach them how to hunt, and they kind of inherit your qualities and stuff like that. It's kind of like a mentor system, and I'm guessing eventually like you would become your spawn or whatever.
If you suck at like taking them out on the hunt, could they get killed by your predators?
Probably.
So this game, you know, we've been pimping it since way back in the day, and it's finally coming. It's coming on June 7th, and we will definitely be picking this sucker up and talking about it on the show for better or for worse. I do hope it's good. There's obviously a big chance it's not, but it does look good. And Shuhei Yoshida, the
he was saying it looks really great.
He's played it, yeah. The head of Sony, what is it, first party, third party?
I think it's just worldwide studios.
Yeah,
he's not going to say that it sucks, right? It's coming out.
No, but he actually plays a lot of games, like, and he talks about them on his Twitter feed. He's pretty cool, and he responds to fans
right.
a lot.
I'm guessing
too.
If he didn't like it, he just wouldn't say it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, right.
So that's a good sign for the game. I think it looks, you know, this is like what the kind of shit we were talking about, like kind of these games that are just taking chances and just, you know.
I remember seeing it at TGS like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's been in development for a long time. Yeah.
And our last story for the day, Justin Bieber sued by the developers of the game Joustin Beaver.
What?
Joustin Beaver is a, I think this is like a Tubin clone. Do you guys remember Tubin?
Sure. I remember Tubin.
Where you're like in an inner tube floating down a river, trying to avoid that. Shit.
Hard game.
And you are a beaver that looks a lot like Justin Bieber. He carries a spear and
hence the Joustin
Beaver. That's a pretty awesome name.
And so the beaver knocks photogs that are attempting to take his photograph into the river with his lance. The developer claims in the suit, which can be read in its entirety on the Hollywood Reporter, the beaver also signs autographs. And the beaver must also dodge the whirlpool of success.
Wait, who's suing who?
So actually, it started out as Bieber's lawyers suing these guys.
Not suing. They wrote a cease and desist.
Okay. Oh, cease and desist because it infringes on the teen heartthrobs trademark and publicity rights.
Okay.
The developer RC3 claims that the game is a parody and protected under the First Amendment, which it is.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm not a lawyer, but that I'm right.
What platform is it for?
I believe this looks like iOS. Yeah. It's probably iOS. Justin Bieber.
I kind of want to play it now.
Yeah, it's probably a total piece of shit.
I know, but I still kind of want to play
it. I love the title. That's why I even brought it onto the show.
Nice.
So what's going to happen next is we're going to say goodbye to Cheapy because he's got to go pick his kids up. And
his kids.
I had another kid during the show.
Well, you know.
We're going to come back.
We're going to go back to, we're going to do real work, and then we're going to come back directly after the big PlayStation Vita Heaven announcement spectacular that's going on tonight.
So there's
going to
be a time jump.
There's going to be a time jump.
Blow your mind.
And
it's going to be really late. We're doing this for you. This is a Friday night. We're taking our Friday night to stay here and watch Vita Heaven and then come back and probably say a lot of things that don't make any sense because we only just freshly got the news.
Right.
But we're going to do that immediately following it. It's so late that we actually can't stay long and talk about it. So we could probably do that for like another 20, 30 minutes, and then we got to go.
Right.
But we figure better to have a little something. Maybe there's going to be some big announcements. I'm personally hoping for Phantasy Star. There were rumors of it because of, what's his face?
The dude.
Sakurai San, the producer, is going to be there.
That would be pretty cool.
Be nice if there's some, you know, major franchises in, major new entries in franchises we're very fond of.
I want, my ultimate dream is like a Dark Souls for Vita.
Okay.
That would be pretty damn cool.
Let's see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
So we'll be back. And Cheapy, thanks as always for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we'll have you back again soon, I'm sure.
Yes, sweet. Please. Next time, Mark is gone.
Right. I mean, most times I'm here, Mark is not. Yeah. I think one time I was here. The Vita one, maybe.
Yes, that's probably true.
But thank you. And the people on Gaff are like much nicer to me now.
Yeah.
Really good.
All the comments on the last time I was on, people seemed to like me. Usually they were like, fuck that guy. He doesn't like anyone.
Right.
And tell the world where to find you.
Yes, please.
My address is, you can follow me on Twitter, of course, GPD, and Cheapass Gamer for all your video game deals and whatnot.
Absolutely. Is that your slogan? It's like on the front of the site. It's like for all your video game deals and whatnot.
It used to be cheap video game deals for your cheap ass.
Uh-huh.
And I kept it up there for a long time, for years.
Did you have to tone it down?
I didn't have to do anything, but we redesigned the site and I don't know, it got lost, I guess.
All right, well, go to Cheap Ass Gamer and buy games.
Yes.
And we'll see you after the jump.
Yes. And we're back.
Is that your disappointed voice?
Yeah. Like, okay, where do we start?
It wasn't that bad. Come on.
In what way do you think it wasn't bad?
I mean, what were you expecting? It wasn't...
I was expecting new games.
We got new games.
We got a new game.
We got a really big new game.
Sure, sure.
That won't come out till 2013.
But, that's fine. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am fucking hyped for PSO2. I think the ability to play with PC people on my Vita is great. This is like... This is future shit. Well, it shouldn't be future shit, but we finally have it, so now it's future shit.
And it's future shit from 10 years ago, finally here now.
Right.
But basically, just for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, presumably most of you have heard about the announcements that came out of the Vita PlayStation, what is it, PS Vita Game Heaven webcast series that went up on the net tonight. It wasn't really a webcast in the end.
Yeah. Was it ever like explicitly said that this was just going to be a whole bunch of videos they're posting their YouTube channel?
I didn't hear it if it was.
I don't think they ever specified what they were going to do. They just said it would begin at 8, whatever this thing
is. We just talked about this last episode about how this is like not the way to do it. This is how the NOA did it with the Nintendo Direct, where you could just like, you know, put it all up at once and jump around. I would have much preferred if this was like a straight up, you know, sequential event that we all watched together, but... But anyway, they put up all their, they put up, I guess, 9 videos, was it?
Something like that.
One was
just an introductory video, though.
Right, with the
A guy who looked like he shaved the skin off of Grimace.
To wear it for his coat.
Right, his coat
and
his hat.
I thought he looked like a pimp, but that's me.
Pimp Grimace. Basically, they announced, they didn't really announce stuff. They showed a bunch of stuff in development, and the big news that came out of it was that Phantasy Star Online 2... formerly thought to be PC exclusive, is also coming to Vita. Unfortunately, it's coming to Vita later. It's coming to Vita in 2013, which is like they said they're going to get the PC version out first, done and out, and then they're going to focus on the Vita version.
Which is cool. I can wait.
Yeah, that's fine. But it would have been nice if it was at the same time. But I understand that's probably impossible. Yeah. But they're going to make it so that you could play together with PC players and Vita players, which
is
really
cool. And you
can
transfer your data between your PC.
No, I don't think you're even transferring it. I think you just have...
It's probably server-side.
They have a character on the server, and you can access it from either game.
It's going to be interesting to see if like Vita ends up like PSP, where like everybody hacks the shit out of it. Like, how is that even going to work? Like, are they just going to have to cancel it or something? Hopefully that won't happen.
The thing, like, I guess, you know... This is really cool, and I'm glad that it... I hope it opens up the door for more MMOs to come out on Vita. Could you, like, imagine, like, a World of Warcraft on Vita?
But the problem...
waiting for a big reaction.
That's what I'm talking about.
The one problem is, though, it's not like you'd be able to do it over... It's not like you'd be able to do it over 3G. You'd have to be in a Wi-Fi.
I don't care.
But still.
I can do it in my bed.
No, it's going to be
I can do it in
the
bathtub.
But you're going to be able to do that with the Wii U anyway.
Yeah, but
it's going to be cool to be able to play it on Vita for sure.
That's true. The one thing that sort of concerns me, and I'm not a PSO player, so maybe I shouldn't stick my mouth in here, but they do make the comment even on the website that the graphics aren't all that impressive, and specifically because they had to downgrade it a little bit to play on the Vita, but also because they said they haven't implemented the high-end shading and stuff like that, so it will look better.
The game's a year away.
I'm sure it'll look fine by the time it comes out.
I'm sure they just like got the code together in a month and were like, okay, this is our base, you know?
That's sort of what they were saying on the website, that this is extremely early.
Like, the video footage was extremely choppy and framey, and just, you can't judge it on this.
But that was the big news that came out of this whole thing. You know, the way they put it together was kind of weird. A series of videos, YouTube videos, like JJ said, that you could check on the website, and you could click on them, jump through them at any point. Other stuff that was on there, I guess... small bit of news, Metal Gear Solid HD confirmed for June 28th release in Japan. Looks pretty good. It looks just like the PS3 version. They confirmed it'll have transferring.
Oh, man.
And I guess you said touch control or something.
Yeah,
they said what you can do is you can touch the screen and that will change your viewpoint. So if you're standing behind a wall and you want to look around the wall, you slide your finger on the screen and your character will look behind it. And you can tap to zoom in and stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are looking forward to that one. Here in Japan, a lot of people are looking forward to Zero. Well, I don't know about a lot of people, but some people are looking forward to Zero No Kiseki, which is
a handful of people.
Which is the Legend of Heroes series that Exceed is putting out in the US. Well, Exceed's put out the previous one. I don't know what's going to happen with this one. But they're remaking a PSP game that only came out like a year or two ago, I think, right?
Yeah.
On Vita.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk a little bit about this one just because it's the game I'm mostly interested because I'm a nerd. But they were one of the things they talked about was how they wanted to make a full voice version of it back for the PSP, but there just wasn't enough space in the PSP UMDs. And now that they have the Vita, they can actually shove all of the voice, like all text in the game into voice. And they showed like stacks. Stacks of phone books of dialogue that's now voiced. And there's going to be new arranged music, which for a Falcom game is nice.
Okay.
All right, so there's that. Yeah, I'm not too interested either. I mean, I do think it's probably a pretty solid game, but I'd never play those games for the voices because the story is usually pretty goofy anyway. So we'll see. Persona 4, that's one I am very interested in, actually, because Persona 4 The Golden, because it's a remake, or I guess it's more of a sort of like an enhanced port of the PS2 game. That I really enjoyed, but only played for a couple hours. So I'm looking forward to that. But that's not news. We all knew that was coming.
Yeah.
They showed it. It looks good.
They said that there's actually, you can actually support other players. There's a little bit there's of cooperative co-op, play where you can, it doesn't look like you directly play with each other, but if you're playing near a friend and you're having trouble with the battle, they can somehow pop in and help you or something. Huh. They don't really explain it, but
because you know cool. How often I'll be playing an RPG with my friend in the same room. I'm sorry.
You will now.
I don't want to be the negative Nancy, but that
So stop being the negative Nancy then.
Shut up.
I'm just
damn
saying
it.
Seems like a really useless feature.
Don't crush our dreams.
I agree. It doesn't sound like a very useful feature, but I mean, whatever. You know, it's cool that they're trying to put new stuff in there.
Sure.
There was some new Super Robot Wars crap and some new Gundam crap.
Yeah.
I don't care about that.
Yeah.
So we can skip it. What else? There was Inafune-san had a video.
Dude, this is the best part because he fucking like leaked his own announcement.
At GDC. And then in the video, he just like says that it's going to be an amazing game. It says nothing at all about it. And refers to himself in the third person.
And he's like, awesome. He's in a library.
It's going to be a very Inafune-like game, and I think you'll enjoy it. And I'm going to tell you nothing else.
It does sound like Sony's publishing it because he said they were doing it through Sony. So
right. But what does an Inafune-like game? Does it have zombies or robots or...
I don't know. I think like maybe
Kawasaki motorcycles,
Onimusha or something. You know,
oh, that'd
I don't
be
know,
cool.
Action
an Onimusha
style.
Would be actually. We need to see.
Well, it won't be Onimusha. Obviously,
there was an Onimusha like announced for cell phones.
Yes, there
what?
Was. So yeah.
Okay.
Today.
Never mind.
Maybe
that series is now dead to me.
Right.
Besides that, there was the Discovery Project, which is like something with Kadokawa Games, which I don't understand. Brendan, what did you get out of that?
Yeah, they don't explain anything about it other than. They show a bunch of words on the screen, things like, you know, music development, character design, scenario writing, and there's a voice that says, you know, imagine if you could bring your stories to life or something. And they flash the words user-generated content several times in the video, which makes it sound like it's some sort of effort to allow regular citizens to create their own content and maybe post it up on some service on the Vita, but they don't explain anything about it.
What I kind of got out of it, it sounds like it could be like some sort of crowdsourcing game development hub where like you say you have a scenario, you can put it up and then someone will be like, well, hey, I got this art, and then you can just hook up and start doing that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe their people are going to come together and make the game together or something.
Could have a lot of potential, but we don't know what it is.
This would be really cool if it was something like a like some sort of publicly available SDK that people could use to make games for the Vita.
Right.
Who knows?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But they don't really talk about it much.
Okay. And then I think what else was there? There was,
the
I think the last thing was that they announced a whole bunch of new games for the UMD Passport, which isn't even available overseas.
Yes.
They sort of gave up
This is probably the biggest. Well, it's not really the biggest new. Well, maybe
I don't
in
think
Japan.
It's big.
It kind of is because you can play, like, the biggest selling PSP 1 titles are pretty much now available on PS Vita.
Right. They got, obviously, the big ones are Monster Hunter Freedom Unite and Portable Third are now playable. A few Mega Man games, the Metal Gear Solid games, a bunch of Final Fantasy games.
All the Decidias.
Tactics Ogre, all the Falcom's games. Well, a lot of Falcom games.
Yeah.
One new Level 5 game.
Yeah, Level 5 had... cardboard little battlers
little
boost or whatever.
Yeah.
The thing about that is like at this point anybody who wanted to play Monster Hunter on Vita already bought the download version anyway. So probably, it's like, I don't really, I don't know. It's cool that they're doing it.
You can get it for 1,200 yen. It's half-ish off.
Yeah. But a lot of people, you know, were bummed that it wasn't available overseas. And I still think it's kind of lame that they didn't do anything over
there.
Well,
now that they have games people want, I think it's kind of lame.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Before, it was just a bunch of crap.
Right.
Pachinko games and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the Vita conference. It was a little underwhelming, but I mean, I was kind of expecting a little more the way they were hyping it up.
Yeah.
Bummed that there was nothing in the world of like Dark Souls or anything else that we were really excited about.
I really should not have hyped myself up for Dark Souls.
You ruined it.
Oh, well, you know, okay. PSO2.
PSO2 is huge.
Let's
and
get
it's
excited
big.
For that.
I mean, I have been excited for that for a few weeks now. So, I mean, I'm really stoked. I'm bummed that it's 2013, though. That's a long time away.
I have a PC, so that you know what? When the game comes out, I'll be happy to guide you guys through every area with my superpower.
I'm probably going to get it going to get a PC for that and like Diablo 3, but yeah.
The one thing I have to talk about, because if you don't watch the videos, you won't know, is at the end of every video, they ask the person to like draw a picture that that expresses the Vita for them, and one person drew a mountain, and another person wrote the word freedom or something, and I just thought that was the lamest.
Did Inafune draw something?
Inafune didn't do anything.
No, okay.
He just sat in his library.
He just drew a blank space for you to look into.
Right.
I wonder if the library thing was a hint at anything. Like, it stopped and, like, focused on an open book on the table at the end of his video.
Oh, good point.
Like, well, maybe he's making a library simulator.
His future is an open book, John.
Apparently, yes. That was very thought-provoking.
Okay.
Well, so that's more or less it for the Sony conference, right?
Yeah. We got stuff to talk about in terms of 8.4 related fun times, John.
That's right, yeah. What is today's date? Today's the 9th. We were actually recording this, like, well, this last part, like, probably a half hour before it's going live.
Yeah.
Fresh off the grill. It's the 13th, whenever that is. That is next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Tales of Graces F finally comes out for PlayStation 3.
Buy it.
It's a big game,
it's
guys.
It's awesome.
It is a very big game. That is a game that we spent a lot of time on last year. I personally spent like 6 months of my life slaving on that game and had a lot of fun doing it. It's a really good game that is coded in a pastel-y anime shell that I think is going to scare off a lot of people. And I think you should, you know, give it a chance because it's got a really awesome battle system, really deep battle system, probably better than any other battle system I've played in recent years on an RPG. It's like fighting game levels of depth. And it's got a really cool level up system. It's got a really good localization. And it's, you know, that series has kind of suffered a lot because, through Namco hasn't exactly marketed it, swimmingly over the years, but it's out next Tuesday. Pick it up and check it out.
Yeah, if you're hungry for JRPGs, I mean, that's a JRPG,
and it's a long game.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was originally a Wii game, and then it got ported to PS3, and they added like this like 10-hour sort of extra chapter at the end.
Yeah.
So it's like a full game plus like a full DLC sort of download.
But I wouldn't even consider it DLC. It's like, it's pretty huge.
It's
huge, and it's difficult too, especially the added portion.
It's longer than most games you would buy for $60.
Right.
And so, yeah, we did everything on that game. We didn't actually do the voices. That's like the one thing, because we weren't out in the studio, but videos have started leaking to the net and the voices actually sound pretty good. So
I think they
did a decent job with them. Yeah. So, yeah. That game's not going to get enough love, so I wanted to mention it here. We'll probably talk about it a little more in the future, but definitely check it out. That's next Tuesday.
And I think that's it. Does anybody else have any more announcements or whatever they want to talk about?
No. If you want to look us up, you can find us on 8-4.jp or on Twitter. I am John TV. Brendan.
I am Brendan Beyond.
JJ SPRSK.
Is that your Twitter is JJSPRSK?
No, but I just wanted people to know, because like I think a lot of people don't know what my Twitter handle is, because it's just a bunch of letters. Okay.
Maybe you should do something about that.
I can't. It's on my card.
It's on his card. It's burned in for life.
Yeah,
it's branded on his ass.
I can't change it now.
You could also follow Mark at MarkMacD. He is, I believe, going to be appearing on Weekend Confirmed today. So go check that out over at Shaq News with our friends Garnet and also John Davison.
I hope he at least mentions this podcast once or twice.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Also, again, today is Hiroko's birthday.
Yes.
So send her a tweet and wish her happy birthday. Mm-hmm. She's Hiroko84 on Twitter.
Don't send flowers. That would be a little creepy.
but send her a tweet and say,
tweets are nice.
Nice things. She's been working her ass off at GDC. So
indeed.
Yes.
You can also find us on NeoGAF on the forums, 1UP.com. We might have some news maybe next episode about the podcast. If not, then two episodes away. Yeah, we'll be getting there soon. So keep an ear out for that.
All right.
And that's it.
Yep.
And JJ, I think you need to take us out.
I do?
Yeah, because I took us out last time.
That is true.
And you humiliated me earlier this episode.
What?
Okay, I don't know what... I didn't have anything planned. John, do you have any ideas?
Knight Rider theme.
Okay, that's good.